This episode of Amateur Traveler is sponsored by DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. These colorful guidebooks are filled with great information and are one of my favorite guidebooks. I have 25 of them right here on my bookshelf. Learn more at DK.com. I got my bags packed and on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Amateur Traveler, episode 463. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about stingrays and starfish, beaches and rum, as we go to the Cayman Islands. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we start talking about the Cayman Islands, I do have that same request I asked last week. If you have questions about travel, I would love to hear them because I'm putting together a course about how to travel. So send those to host@amateurtraveler.com. And now, the Cayman Islands. I'd like to welcome to the show Kendra Pierre-Lewis from KendraWrites.com. Kendra has come to talk to us about the Cayman Islands. Kendra, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
And why should someone go to the Cayman Islands, not just to visit their secret bank account, I assume?
No, and unfortunately, upon return, I still don't have large sums of money. I thought maybe I would find a way into all of those clandestine transactions. But no, unfortunately, it's trickier than that. Okay, I feel like oftentimes when we go on vacation, we end up going to destinations where we cram so much in that we come back and we need a vacation from our vacation. And the Cayman Islands are beautiful. They're stunning, amazing landscapes in the Caribbean. It's great topography. The people are super welcoming. It's low crime. It's like everything that you kind of want in a beach destination. But it's so small and it's so compact that you don't have to plan everything that you're doing before you go. You don't have to overthink it. It's just sort of like it's a genuine beach vacation.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend for, say, a one-week trip to the Caymans?
That's a great question. So I can tell you what I did when I went.
Sure.
The Cayman Islands are actually three different islands. There's Grand Cayman, Little Cayman, and Cayman Brac. And most people who go to the Cayman Islands, they go to Grand Cayman, which is the biggest of the three Cayman Islands. It's roughly 2 miles by 20 miles. So it's 40 square miles, which is why it's definitely a size that you can sort of wrap your heads around. And so for the first day, all I did was I arrived sort of midday. I settled into my accommodations, and then I went down to the beach and ate dinner watching the sunset on the beach. And that's the great thing about the Cayman Islands is that most people who go as a cruise ship, right? So they come in around 10 and they're gone by 4. Mm-hmm. So before 10 and after 4, the only people on the island are you and the locals. And so nothing is full. You can, any restaurant you want to go to, anything that you want to do, you can go and do it. And that's amazing. I'm so used to being in New York City where you sort of have to plan things so much more. And the Caymans, that just isn't true.
And is there a place that you can escape to when the throngs of cruise ship people are there from 10 to 4?
Sure. It's actually the Cayman Islands themselves. They actually post on their website the port itinerary for the day.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So you can tell which days have the most cruise ships. So like the first day that I got there, there was only one cruise ship docking and it only had a total of 1,000 people on the ship itself. And because the Cayman Islands are ringed by coral reefs, the cruise ships can't actually dock. What happens is they dock outside of the reefs and then the cruisers, right. And so a lot of people choose not to get off the boat.
Which I do not understand.
But it works perfectly as a tourist. So what I chose to do is I actually looked at that schedule. And the first couple of days I hung out closer to Seven Mile Beach and I did some of the more touristy things. So there's Stingray City, which is this amazing sandbar that you have. It's within a wildlife preserve or an aquatic preserve. Mm-hmm. So you have to book with a tour company, which I did. And they take you out to the sand. It's usually a snorkel tour. So they do Stingray City, which, I mean, the water comes up maybe hip high. It's not deep water. Maybe chest high. It's super not deep water, but it's filled with really docile stingrays. And they're hilarious because the story of Stingray City is that a long time ago, the fishermen used to dock their boats there and then clean off the fish and dump the fish guts into the water. Mm-hmm. And that trained the stingrays to come to the sounds of the boat because they knew that they would get food to eat. And over time, that sort of migrated into a tourist destination. And it's incredibly clear water where you can actually pet a stingray. It's 7 years good luck to kiss one. They're incredibly docile animals.
Yeah. Okay. Who talked you into that one?
It's part of the tour. You kiss the stingray. They pull it up from the bottom and you kiss it, and the animals are so used to being handled that they're really, really calm about it. The humans are actually the ones that freak out. Like when the stingray bumps up against you, you're the one that freaks out. But the stingrays are like, worried because they give you food to feed them. So the stingrays are like, where's my food? And you're like freaking out. So it's super entertaining though. And then they take you further out onto the reef to two other locations where you can snorkel.
Okay.
And that's what I did the first day because I knew that that's the thing that tourists like to do. And the tours themselves tend to be geared towards the boat. So I did it on a day when I knew there wouldn't be a lot of tourists.
Excellent.
And okay. So because of that itinerary, it's great. I think there was one day where there were like 19,000 estimated cruisers. I said, forget it. And I went as far north as humanly possible. There's a starfish lagoon or starfish park where there are just hundreds and hundreds of starfish. And you can go snorkeling for hours. And it's great, especially if you have your own snorkel, which I do. But if you don't, all of the dive shops rent their own.
Sure. You can usually get a week package, I assume.
Right. You can get a week package. You can get a day package. You can rent only the pieces that you're missing. So the second or the third day that I was there, I decided to go snorkeling along Seven Mile Beach by myself, or near Seven Mile Beach, this area called Eden's Rock. And I was a little nervous about going by myself because it's not always the wisest life choice. So I rented just a snorkel vest. But okay. I found I'm not a great swimmer. I'm actually pretty terrible swimmer. But the water was so warm and the currents were smooth enough, I actually ended up releasing the air for my snorkel vest. I think it's a good thing to have just as backup. And I think nothing is a supplement common sense and being vigilant and being super careful. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's one of the calmest sea experiences I've ever had.
And you say Seven Mile Beach. The beach itself is 7 miles long, or it's 7 miles from something?
Okay, so the beach used to be 7 miles long.
Okay.
It's shorter now because of erosion. It has that name because it's basically 7 miles of really beautiful coastline. And one of the other things that's really amazing about the Caymans is that all of the beaches are public. So even if you're not staying at one of the fancy resorts, you still have beach access.
And they have beach access marked in the resorts like they do in Hawaii. If you wanted to get to the beach, go this path through the resort.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. No, one of the reasons I ask is in the Big Island of Hawaii, there's a 5 mile marker. And so the 5 mile beach basically would be by 5 miles from something or other rather than 5 miles long. It's actually a small beach.
Gotcha.
Excellent.
Nope, this one's 7 miles long.
Now, are we still on Grand Cayman?
We are still on Grand Cayman. So I actually went to Grand Cayman and I went to the Little Cayman. I didn't go to Cayman Brock, which is actually the bigger of the three. So in size order, it's Grand Cayman, Cayman Brock, and Little Cayman.
Okay.
And Grand Cayman, the big news when I was there, they had just extended the runway. So now it's an international airport. So you can fly directly from the States to Cayman Brock if you want to, which is mostly divers who do it because the diving around Cayman Brock is supposedly amazing.
Okay. And while Grand Cayman is better known for snorkeling?
Grand Cayman has really great scuba diving as well, but it has a lot more people. So population-wise, Grand Cayman has about 60,000 people on the entire island.
Mm-hmm.
Cayman Brock has about 1,000 or 1,100 full-time residents, and Little Cayman has 170.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's divers who really don't want to be around people to Cayman Brack.
So what else should we do on Grand Cayman while we're there?
I really enjoyed the Cayman Distillery Company.
Okay.
So there are two big rum companies in the Cayman Islands. One is Tortuga, which is a famous one. They make a rum cake. And they're large. You can get their rum almost anywhere in the country. And they ship their rum cakes internationally. I swung by to get the rum cakes because I wanted to see what it was like. And it definitely feels like a very large operation. They do tours. Maybe it's just me, but I tend to go to a lot of factories because I find them entertaining.
It's not just you. I have the same thing.
And it definitely feels like a very large operation. Mm-hmm. Whereas, oddly, just down the road is the Cayman Distillery Company, and they're super new. I think they've only been around since 2007. They make award-winning rum. It's called Seven Fathoms Rum, and they distill it by burying the caskets 7 fathoms deep in the ocean. They, like, chain them down there because they say that the gentle movement... Yes. Needless to say, they're divers.
Okay.
They say that the gentle movement of the ocean allows the rum, which is in, like, whiskey caskets,
Okay.
They get a lot of their caskets from whoever makes Jack Daniels. I can't remember. They get them from like Tennessee and stuff because those caskets, I guess by law, can only be used one time.
Right.
So they get them, they put their rum in it, and they say that the gentle movement of the sea allows the right amount of like contact with the barrels themselves. Hmm. It's not too rough. It's not too gentle. And by being underwater, they minimize evaporation.
Right. The angel's share, as it were. Interesting.
Exactly. So they've won. This rum is supposedly like one of the best rums around. They've won all of these awards. I know nothing about rum, but when in rum country, you drink rum. So I'd heard about the tour and I decided to take it. And because I timed it sort of funny, I was actually the only person on the tour. Which was great because they definitely tried their best to get me slightly intoxicated. They even jokingly told me that they've often had to call cabs on people because people drive to the rum tour and then they drink a few too many samples and are in no condition to drive themselves back. So definitely designate a driver. But it's definitely like I think they've been around for seven or eight years. They have a whole bunch of other, the Caymans have a really high import tax on alcohol apparently. So they also have a bunch of really fun sort of like rums that they make, so like banana flavored and coconut flavored. The coconut flavored was amazing. It was so delicious. Hmm. But the best part about the tour was not just how they make vodka now too. And the best part of the tour wasn't just sort of learning about how the rum was distilled and the process of making rum, because I feel like you can go to any rum company and learn that. But it was really how personable they were, how hands-on they were. Also like how chill they were. Like I felt like it was almost like being back in college and hanging out in a dorm room, only in this case the dorm room is a distillery and you were drinking shots of wine while you were doing it.
Just like college.
Just like, actually, now that you mention it, just like college.
I don't know what the difference was.
And it definitely felt like an insight into what like Cayman life was like. Mm-hmm. So there are a bunch of little funny things that you'll notice when you're in the Cayman Islands. For example, there are just randomly chickens everywhere.
Okay.
And you're like, why are there chickens everywhere? And he was like, there was a guy and he had chickens and they got out. And that's the cool thing about the Caymans. It definitely has sort of that slow island feel. You know what I mean? Like the chickens that are sort of randomly around. There are green iguanas everywhere. They're actually invasive. They're not native to the Caymans. Hmm. But you see them everywhere and like the pace of life feels really slow. But on the other hand, the infrastructure is there. You can drink the tap water. The roads are paved, which is lovely. There isn't any really visible poverty. It was actually kind of, I didn't realize it when I was there, but when I got back to New York and immediately somebody was asking me, a homeless person was asking me for money, I realized I'd gone an entire week without anyone panhandling me, which is kind of, I mean, like, I feel like there are very few places in the world where you can go and that's true.
Well, one of the things we've seen is there are some places you can go and that you won't find that because there's no tourism. So to find some place that has a lot of tourists and not have the panhandling is more rare.
Let's take a break here and hear from our sponsor, who is DK Eyewitness Travel Guides. As I've mentioned, these are one of my favorite guidebook series. I've just picked up off my bookshelf here The Guide to New Zealand, since we are talking about islands today. And this is what I used when I was traveling in New Zealand back, I think this is the 2010 guide. And I opened up to the North Island, which is where I was traveling in, and to the section on Waitomo Caves. And that was one of the best adventures I have. And there's a two-page spread about all the different things that you can do in that area, as well as a cutaway view and some information about the formation of the caves. So it gives you some of the science, and then also tells you about some of the adventures you can do, like the Lost World adventure involves a 100-meter abseil descent into a huge limestone shaft, or the blackwater rafting equipped with wetsuits, lights, and cave rafts, inner tubes. These blackwater rafters drift in the darkness, and then it has a photo of the different things so you can see what they look like, and then a map of the area. And that's the kind of things that you'll find in the DK Eyewitness Guides. That's one of the things I like about the DK Guides. They're very pictorial. They have lots of maps and charts and guides, as well as information that gives me the background and the history of the place. Get your own DK Eyewitness Travel Guide from DK.com.
Any particular places to stay you would recommend, or restaurants or
food? There are a few places. So I went to Michael's Genuine Food and Drink, which is in West Bay, I think, in Grand Cayman, mostly because I really wanted to eat lionfish. And unfortunately, they didn't have lionfish anymore by the time that I got there. The quick backstory on lionfish is it's an invasive fish from Indonesia that was let loose in the Caribbean in the early 1990s, I want to say.
Right.
And made its way to Grand Cayman 4 or 5 years ago. And one of the ways that they're sort of fighting back against this really kind of invasive, violent fish is by encouraging people to eat it, but not too much. They don't want it to become a thing where
people to eat it, but not too much. Okay, we don't want you to get too overly fond of it, but we want you to eat it.
Right. They want you to eat it because it's killing everything out. They're right, afraid sure. it'll eat everything on the reefs, but they don't want people to become too dependent on it and expect to see it all the time.
Okay.
Because they don't want to create a market for this fish. Does that make any sense?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So they want it to be available on restaurant menus seasonally when available. But Mike's Genuine Food and Drink had absolutely the best alcoholic mixed drink I've ever had. And I don't normally drink mixed drinks, but it was a gin drink with like grapefruit and lime juice and a little bit of agave syrup and basil. And it was so good that I actually came back home and bought Bombay Sapphire gin just to try and replicate it, which I failed. But it was really amazing. On 7 Mile Beach, there's also Royal Palms Beach Club. And the appeal of the Royal's Palm isn't so much the food, which is okay, but it's actually right on the beach. So you have amazing beach views. And it's one of the few places on 7 Mile Beach where they just have row after row after row of the beach chairs that you can lay out mm-hmm. on.
Sure.
So it's kind of that great mix between a place where you can lay out and like eat really casually and not have to get too dressed up again to go back and eat. But I think from the best place that I really enjoyed, I think from a food perspective, was I believe it's Coconut Joe's. It's on 7 Mile Beach too. And it had some of the best fish that I had the entire time that I was there. I ate a ton of fish when I was in the Cayman Islands just because it seemed the thing to do.
Okay. And then anything else in Grand Cayman before we talk about your visit to Little Cayman?
The history of the Cayman Islands is a little bit different than a lot of the Caribbean countries.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody lived on the Cayman Islands before Columbus.
Okay.
They didn't actually grow any sugar cane. So the population is really different. Mostly what it was known for is pirates hiding.
Okay.
Blackbeard used to hide his treasure and his booty because it has lots of hidden caves.
So this is where the Cayman banking tradition comes from.
Exactly.
Any place that the guidebooks recommend you go and yet you were a little disappointed?
Rum Point. It's sort of on the northern edge of Grand Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
The Caymans has a long history of piracy, and Rum Point gets its name from like where the pirates used to like hide their booty in rum caskets and all of this really fun stuff. But it's super touristy. Parts of the location are actually cordoned off for different tour groups. Like there was an area for like the Disney cruise ships. The snorkeling is not that great, and it's the one place in a week that I got eaten by mosquitoes.
So pirates used to hide their booty there. So the Cayman banking tradition traces back to that, apparently.
Evidently, yes.
Excellent. Do you want to talk about Little Cayman then?
I was only on Little Cayman for a day, and the entire island is 10 miles by 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much the smallest place ever. There are a few sort of resorts that don't look like what you're probably thinking of when you hear the word resort. It's definitely, my understanding is accommodations are really lovely on the inside, but they definitely look pretty simple. They're not multi-story massive structures.
Okay.
The idea behind Little Cayman is most of, if not the entire island, is a nature preserve. So everything there is really designed to minimize environmental impact. I was actually there visiting a research station, so it's a little bit different, but I was fortunate enough to get a really good tour of the island. And it's definitely the kind of place, I don't know if it's a place that you have to go. The experience of getting there is actually super fun because they put you on one of those small prop planes, and it's the island plane equivalent of Greyhound. It stops on your way out from Grand Cayman, it goes from Little Cayman to Cayman Brac. On your way back, it clearly has started in Cayman Brac because you get on and there are already other people on the plane. So the experience is really fun. And if you really want to get away from people, there's no, I mean, it's 170 people in 10 square miles. If that's crowded for you, then I'm not sure where else you can go to find more isolation. But the beaches are beautiful. The views are uncomparable. The beauty of the whole coral reefs and the tranquility of the water, I can't explain it enough. When you take pictures of it and your friends see it and it almost looks like you photoshopped it, the pictures really do look like that.
Excellent. What was the research station researching?
Mostly they're researching the coral reefs. Because Little Cayman has so few people, it has no industry, it has no agriculture, it's missing a lot of the things that normally are directly tied to people impacting the coral reefs.
Mm-hmm.
Little Cayman allows them to, because they don't have those impacts, it allows them to sort of see what a coral reef should look like, relatively speaking, when it's not been encroached so much by human habitation. And it also allows them to see the impact of a changing climate on the coral reefs.
Interesting. Now, is the tour that you did to the research station something generally available, or is that something you were able to wrangle your way into?
It was something I was able to wrangle my way into. It's at the Central Caribbean Marine Institute. And the station in specifically, it's a little Cayman Research Center. So okay. They do work in conjunction with a few of the resorts on the island to do lionfish calls. So it isn't sort of completely outside of the idea that you'd be able to interact with them. And at the end of those calls, they do barbecues with the food. So you do get to eat it. And that's something, unfortunately, I didn't get to do when I was in Grand Cayman. A couple of the dive companies do lionfish calls. So you can go diving, get lionfish, and then eat it.
Now, lionfish has a pretty nasty sting, so there's some risk involved.
There is some risk
involved. It's not like it's fatal, but it's rather unpleasant, is my understanding.
It's venomous, not poisonous, which is why you can eat them. Right. I mean, I haven't, knock on wood, it hasn't happened to me, but your hand swells up quite a bit. And the preferred treatment until you can get medical care is basically to stick your hand in the hottest water that you can tolerate without scalding your skin, because it breaks down the protein of the venom to make it a little bit weaker and a little bit less potent. But yeah, it's not pleasant.
Interesting. What was your biggest surprise with the Grand Caymans?
Two things, I guess. One is I was unprepared for the traffic. They warned me that there would be traffic. Mm-hmm. But 60,000 people on an island that roughly only has one road. rush hour traffic actually does exist. It's nothing. It's not standstill, and it's not. I mean, I think the speed limit is 40 miles per hour on the island. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing that anyone who's ever lived in a major city hasn't dealt with before, but it did sort of surprise me. And then also, I was not fully prepared. It's British. It's a British protectorate. Mm-hmm. So driving on the wrong side of the road was also something I was not fully prepared for. And the frequency with which I drove down the wrong road or the wrong side of the road was scary and made me incredibly grateful for the 40 mile per hour speed limit.
Any warning you would give about going to the Caymans?
No, honestly, I think if you're looking for crazy amounts of nonstop adventure, the Caymans aren't for you. But if you're looking for a place where you can do a little bit of hiking, you like being at the beach, you like nature, the Caymans is the place to go. And the people are really warm and amazing. It was just a really great week.
Speaking of people, who's the most memorable local that you met?
Definitely one of the guys at the distillery who impressed upon me that a lot of them actually leave the Caymans for college, and he'd gone to college in Florida and drunkenly told me that he'd gone to school for 14 years, so he wasn't a moron. And then I pointed out that it made it seem like the average person doesn't take 14 years to finish college, and then he let it known that it was because he was getting his doctorate.
All right. And did he get his doctorate in something related to rum production?
Absolutely not. I think it was like anthropology.
That's always useful to know what to do with that degree. Here's a question for you. Standing at the prettiest spot in all of the Caymans, all the parts that you saw at least, where are you standing? What are you looking at?
So Little Cayman has a beach at the highest point on the island. Most of the island is at sea level or a little bit below. Mm-hmm. And it's stunning. Like it doesn't look like people exist. The water is the most iridescent blue that I've ever seen. And it just feels like you're one with nature.
Excellent. I have three more questions before I get to them. Anything else we should know before we pack our bags and head to the Caymans?
No, I mean, it's hands down the easiest travel destination I've ever been to. Not counting the driving, but I'm a New Yorker, so I'm a terrible driver.
Okay. Well, there you go. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Caymans?
The chickens.
Although I have seen those on Kauai also. So, okay. And finish this sentence. You really know you're in the Cayman Islands when what?
When people refuse your tip money.
Refuse? Mm-hmm. What do they say? We just don't do that here?
Yeah, I was getting gas and I went to self-service instead of full because I figured I could handle this. And it turned out I couldn't. The full-service guy came over and helped me out. And I was like, well, I just should have gone to full service. Gave him a little bit of a tip to help him out. And he like looked at me like, I don't know what to do with this. And he was like, no, I'm okay. And I was like, well, I should have gone to full service. And I didn't, but I'm effectively used full service. So you should take this. And after like a minute or two, he was like, oh, okay, I guess I will. But like,
you don't have that in New York City, you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I can't imagine tipping someone at their job for doing their job and having them say no, thank you.
And then last question, if you had to summarize the Cayman Islands in just three words, which three words would you use?
Absolutely perfect sunset.
Excellent. And our guest again has been Kendra Pierre-Lewis. Where can people read more about your travels?
You can read more about my travels online at kendrawrites.com.
Excellent. Well, Kendra, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for the Cayman Islands.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We're probably not going to have an Amateur Traveler episode next week because I'll be with some of you in Morocco. And so because of that, I don't see one coming out, but it's possible. In news of the community, I heard from Jenny and Donnie, who said, "Dear Mr. Christensen, just want to let you know that my husband and I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I travel overseas a lot, so I always make sure to download enough episodes for the whole trip. Thank you and appreciate your work. Please keep up the good work and may God bless you and your family." Thanks, Jenny and Donnie, but I should say that even my father won't answer to Mr. Christensen. He'll tell you that's his father, so apparently that's the last Christensen in my family that wouldn't go by a first name, so call me Chris. Mark responded on Twitter and said, "Much enjoyed the Vienna podcast. This is from way back in the archives, and made a new friend at the Third Man Museum, a place I never would have known about. Thanks." And for those of you who haven't listened to that episode, our guest was, in fact, the curator of the museum, The Third Man, about the movie of the same name, which is a spy thriller that happened in the city of Vienna shortly after World War II. We heard from Jack about the episode we did on North Carolina. Great episode. I grew up in Western North Carolina. Only correction I heard was that Lake Lure is southeast of Asheville, not north. Well, if that's all we got wrong, Jack, then we did a pretty good job. In the most recent episode of the Amateur Traveler newsletter, I included an article or link to an article about growth in podcasting. And I heard from Gary in Liverpool, who said, "Just to let you know, Chris, podcasts are just about all I listen to apart from when I watch The Box. Whilst they are popular here in England, they are really only very popular with a certain type of person. By that, I mean techies and the sort, or, like myself, involved in creative industries. I have in the past let other people know about the podcast world. They don't seem to keep it up. My commute is a 60-mile round trip, which takes 50 minutes each day if the traffic's okay, and that's, for me, is podcast heaven. Also, when I'm working in the garden or washing the car, stuff like that, again, it's podcasts all the way. I no longer listen to radio and haven't for years, to be honest. I have subscribed to Amateur Traveler for years and thoroughly enjoy it, and This Week in Travel. Keep up the good work." Cheers, Gary in Liverpool. Gary, it's interesting how that has changed here. When I was back at TripAdvisor recently, I ran across someone who was a former coworker back when I was an employee there. And she said, "I'm going to have to listen to your podcast now because I am now listening to podcasts because of some of the big NPR podcasts." I think in her case, it was the Serial podcast had got her into podcasting. I'd be curious how many of you are new podcast listeners or, like Gary, longtime listeners. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Remember, send me your travel questions. Also, comments on this episode, you can send them via host@amateurtraveler.com, or for comments on the episode, better yet, leave them as a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.